Mama, can this really be the end? To be stuck inside a mobile with the Memphis Blues again.
Mona, welcome back to the Jeff Porch Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Monday morning, 251-343-0106. You need to be in touch with the program. Utilize the text line, and we will try to do our best to respond to whatever it is on your mind. Joining us now, we do this every other Monday, but I'm pleased to be joined by State Representative Shane Stringer here on the program. Representative, good morning. How are you?
Hey, doing great, Jeff.
Hey, thanks for making time for us. A few things to get to. We'll kick it off here, kind of sort of local, in by virtue of your role in law enforcement right now, I think this is a good question to run by you, but Friday night football and all over the state, just full of incidents, even down this way. Is it just me, or do these sort of scares, these gun scares or fights in the stands seem to be on the uptick? What do you do about them?
Yeah, I mean, the biggest thing, you're just going to have to increase your security to keep and maintain control of it. And it's happening everywhere, evidently. But, you know, I don't think that it's, you know, out of control or whatever just yet. I think that can be easily managed if they were to hire enough, you know, off-duty officers to man the security and make sure that we're policing it.
Well, maybe it's just the way the media cover things, and we're much more exposed to the what goes on in this state more on a statewide basis. But we didn't have this when I was in high school, at least not like this. It just seems like it's become more and more prevalent on Friday nights. But maybe I'm totally off base here.
No, I think you're correct. I mean, I think there's lots of factors that play into this. I mean, you've got the video games these kids play nowadays that are very violent and kind of desensitizing our youth to violence is one of the factors that play into it. And the movies and a lot of the society, you know, social media plays a part in it. There's just a lot that goes into desensitizing these kids and, leading them into thinking that, you know, handling it the way they're handling it now is cool, and it's not. So, you know, it's life changing for just about anybody and everybody involved. So, you know, until we, you know, get control of that, and, you know, that's going to play a major role in it. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, I know the schools have ramped up security, and, you know, attended a football game this weekend at Citronelle, and they had metal detectors and plenty of officers and security there. So, you know, we're just going to have to do everything that we can do to try to prevent these incidents.
Well, I mean, and it seems like that becomes cost prohibitive after a while, especially for a lot of these schools. I mean, it's not like, you know, Friday night, you just have to have plenty of Gatorade and, you know, maybe a local ER, EMT or something or whatever, but now you're gonna, some places now, not everywhere, have ramped up security, and even in the case of some of these places, you have to have metal detectors.
Yeah, you know, Mobile County school system came in and implemented the metal detectors and increased security, you know, a couple of years ago after a major incident we had in Mobile County. And you know, I think that's helped, and, you know, we'll just have to do what we can do. But at the end of the day, you know, it's you can't control everybody. So somebody with a evil heart or evil mind that want to do damage or want to do something are probably going to be able to.
Well, more broadly speaking, one of the things I think it's just made and you and I have talked about this in the past, but it's just made, it seems like it's made people a little more willing to be violent or out of control. I think that there is a drug culture, right? That's, there's some kind of intoxicant out there that seems to be adding to a little bit of what's going on, at least here locally in the culture and society.
Yeah, I mean, there again, it's just like so many factors that play into the youth, you know, into these movies that lead these kids to think that it's cool and to go out and, you know, pop a few rounds off somewhere or shoot at somebody or retaliate for something. And you've got that going on. You've got the violent video games. You got social media where they're going back and forth, you know, and to the point that tempers are flaring and, you know, they're backing themselves into corners. And it's just a society issue that we're dealing with right now. And of course, drugs are absolutely playing a part in it, you know, with a lot of that. And then you've got mental illness that plays a part into it. And, you know, then you got the family dynamics that play a part into it, where you don't have strong male role models in some of these homes that can guide and give these kids some wisdom and some information to hopefully lead them on the right path. So lots of factors that are playing into this. It's not a one fix all. It's going to have to be a lot of issues that we're going to have to address. And, you know, I think we are in some aspects, and hopefully, you know, we can get this turned around.
Joined by State Representative Shane Stringer here on the program. Representative, let's talk a little bit about what's going on in the legislature. I know it's way. Well, it'll be here before you know it. I mean, we're almost in September, and then you guys go back in February sooner rather than later. What I'm hearing, and I don't know if you're hearing the same thing, the year will be the year for some kind of shot at gambling from the House, and then perhaps ethics reform. What do you think? You were here in 2019 when they tried it, and it kind of went down in flames. Are we ready to go down that path again, you think?
I think it's got a better shot now than it's ever had. You know, Speaker Ledbetter put together a little commission, a group of guys to kind of evaluate and start trying to hash out all the issues before we get to session and try to come up with the best bill and solution instead of us throwing something together closer to session. And I think those guys are doing awesome with that. Representative Chip Brown's a part of that and doing an awesome job helping us down here. But I think that it's going to stand a better chance now than it ever has. So I'm optimistic on that aspect of it. The ethics issue, I know they're continuing to work on that. Had a meeting this past Wednesday in Montgomery, trying to work out some of the issues on that and, you know, just trying to clean the ethics laws up. You know, evidently there's some issues there that we're trying to get squared away. So hopefully we can make it very transparent and a very comprehensive program that's easy to follow.
And the other one, gambling, been talked about all my life, I assume all your life, but we're constantly in this state of limbo when it comes to the gambling issue. But I guess some of your colleagues got a committee going, an ad hoc committee, trying to figure out what's the best way to approach this. This going to be the year?
Yeah, I mean, I think that typically they you know, the biggest issue that comes up and the biggest dispute that we deal with between members, the Senate and the governor and the House is where the money is going and what we're going to do with that money. And of course, everybody, you know, you've got a lot of legislators and the governor and all that have different opinions on where it should go. So that's what, you know, hopefully we can get that main issue ironed out and get, hopefully we could use some of that money to address some of the needs that we have across the state and, you know, continue to support our education and, education system here in Alabama. And, you know, a lot of money's been lost over the years by Alabama not having, gaming.
Well, and I want to lean on your law enforcement expertise on this. When you do introduce gambling into the state, are you worried about the repercussions, the consequences? I mean, is there are there things associated with it that, that may lead to a criminal element?
Absolutely. You know, that's one of the reasons I've been more inclined to support a lottery only instead of the full-blown gaming. But, you know, you look at Mississippi and you look at some of the surrounding states that have the full-blown gaming, and, you know, they're surviving. Yes, they've got issues, and, you know, that's probably going to lead to having to put some of that money that is made toward, you know, law enforcement, increase in law enforcement and that support, and probably even an increase in the attorney general's office and trying to investigate and deal with some of the criminal element that comes with this kind of activity. But, you know, and then you've got the element of, you know, the basically you're going to have to try to put something in place to deal with the people that become addicted to the gaming and, you know, trying to treat and make sure that we're, you know, we're meeting all the needs of the state if that comes to play.
Next thing I want to ask you about, and this is making the news today, the executions using the nitrogen hypoxia method. And, we've the state struggled with executions in the last year. The Alabama Department of Correction has so many problems building prisons and maintaining an order in its facilities and also executing death row inmates when their time is up. What do you think of this method? What do you think? Does it just seem like it's the right way to go to you?
If it gets the job done, then absolutely. You know, I don't think that we should be giving an inmate an opportunity to select his manner of death. I mean, they did not allow their victims to select their manner of death. So I think that whatever the state decides to go with and whatever our prison system and the attorney general's office says is an appropriate method, then I support 100%. I don't think that these people on death row should have, you know, the options or have the, the choices that they have. So they've not given their victims any choices. So I think whatever takes, gets the job done is what I support.
Well, the thing that I only say is, like, getting it done, it's becoming cost prohibitive in some ways because there's all these legal challenges and, it's just like, why don't we just copy another state that has a good execution method or whatever, and that has passed muster with the federal courts? It's like with everything Alabama's doing lately, and this is more kind of a broad question, it seems like we're trying marijuana, medical marijuana even, that we're trying to reinvent the wheel every single time.
No, and I totally agree. It don't take a rocket scientist to say that if we can look around at other states that have an effective method in place, then let's adopt that and go with it. You know, there's so much that goes on in our prisons with these inmates. I mean, typically in the past, you have the inmates that basically stop drinking or eating, a week or two prior to their execution date, and then whenever they go and try to and start these IVs, they can't start them because they're dehydrated. So, you know, I think that we could very easily look at one of the other states that is successful in what they're doing and adopt that and move forward. And, you know, it goes with just about anything and everything, including the medical cannabis. I mean, what has taken place over the last 3 or 4 months with all of that has just been embarrassing. You know, I'm sure that's led to a lot of legal problems. So, you know, we, my opinion, are wasting a lot of money when we're letting things get out of control like that. And, you know, the legal fees has absolutely got to be a disaster.
Last one, and we'll get you out of here on this. I don't know if you saw the story, but the warehouse, the ABC board is wanting to build, 140,000 square foot facility at the Gunner Industrial Park, could be more than $100 million. no expert. Well, I used to be in construction, but that seems like a lot more than it should be to me, Representative.
Absolutely. And to me also, you know, it seems that everything we, the state has bid on or tried to accomplish, whether it be prisons or now this or any other project, bridges or Highway 43 corridor projects, everything has just been, the prices have been astronomical. I mean, it just, to me, it's way out of proportion. And I think we need to take some serious looks at some of this and some of these bids and contracts. But, you know, as far as the ABC board, I don't know, man. I really have my reservations to whether the state should even be in the alcohol business of selling alcohol and competing with our private businesses across the state. I mean, so I don't know. It sure don't sound like a very good deal. And, you know, if that's what it takes to do it, then maybe we need to reevaluate whether we're even selling alcohol.
Right. Shouldn't the trend be in the other direction, not building more and creating more infrastructure, but trying to wind this thing down? Because when I talk to most of your colleagues, I haven't met any that's like cheering on the ABC board. I'm sure there are a few, but they're not really coming on this program. But a lot of them are more of the mindset that, hey, maybe we need to get out of the alcohol business as a state and let the private sector handle it.
No, I totally agree with that. I mean, I've spoken to so many private businesses that sell alcohol, and to hear their horror stories in trying to purchase alcohol from the ABC board or the state, it's embarrassing. I mean, and to the point of, you know, they make orders, and whenever they show up to pick up, they give them what they want to give them, and either they take it or they don't. And that's just not good customer service. And the fact that the state is doing that and we oversee the alcohol business, I mean, it puts these private companies into predicaments where, you know, how dare them say anything out of fear for getting their license pulled or any other, you know, repercussions. So, you know, I just really have my concerns about the state being in the alcohol business.
Representative, got to leave it there. We're out of time, but I always always appreciate you coming and giving us time. We'll do this again in a couple of weeks.
Yes, sir. As always, enjoyed being on. Thanks again.
Thanks again. State Representative Shane Stringer there. Let's get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Moore Show on FM Talk 106.5. From my hat.